podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
You have to believe that you can do something that nobody else has done. And somehow that concept has to become reality.
Somebody's got to make the play to stop this run. That last run, in fact, again, they push the pile through the first. And the pass is picked off. It's picked off by David Harris, who gets away from Brady. What a turn of events. Now being chased down by Trumpeter at the 10-yard line. Suddenly, the Jets' defense responds, but it looks like the Patriots were ready to drive it right down the field.
37, Matt Moore.
You're listening to No Fly Zone Radio with Victor Green.
Welcome to the No Fly Zone Radio Show, all the way from across the pond. Here are your hosts, Biff Sweeney and Richard Tinley.
Welcome to No Fly Zone Radio. This is episode number 181. I'm your host, Biff Sweeney, and I'm joined here by my good friend, draft tech analyst, Rich Tinley. How's it going, Rich?
Yeah, all good, Ian. We have obviously the most recent news is Derek Carr is a New Orleans Saints and is obviously off the market for the New York Jets. So yeah, again, there'll be probably a lot more quarterback talk this week.
Never wanted him anyway.
Well, I definitely didn't, you know.
Yeah. Other news around the Jets today. The Jets restructured tight end Uzama and converted $4.5 million of his salary into bonus and cleared up $3.6 million in cap space. So it looks like the Jets are now, I think, $4.5 million in cap at the moment. So I can see, well, probably in the next week you might see a couple of cuts. You might see Mosley getting restructured and maybe Tomlinson.
Yeah, well, Tomlinson is a really big cap hit this year.
Yeah, 15.
CJ Mosley as well, like I think he's 21 and a bit, so you'd kind of like to see both those cap figures coming down to just give people the kind of opportunity to be you know, on the radar come free agency, because, you know, like, we still kind of need to fix the O-line for me. And yeah, I think, like, you know, a decent free agency, free safety, if they became available and wanted to join the Jets defense, I think could have a big impact. So, you know, like, you'd like to have some money to spend in free agency to strengthen a couple of different areas. And then I assume linebackers are going to be a need as well, because both our linebackers are free agents, and yeah, we're going to obviously need to have a look at maybe replacing them with somebody quite similar. Or I doubt both will be brought back, Williams and Alexander, because I'm sure after how both played last year on the cheap, they kind of want to be paid a bit more this year. And, you know, that's probably fair. I think somewhere in the maybe 6 to 8 million range is probably a fair price for Williams, and maybe 5 to 6 for Alexander at his age is probably not a bad figure either. But yeah, I think even at those prices, they're just kind of too much for us, because we don't have a lot of cap and we could do it spending it elsewhere.
Yeah, I'm just wondering, Rich, have you ever listened to the Joe Panino, I think that's how you pronounce his name, podcast, Oh, the Pain it's called? I listened to it there today, and it was an interview with Jets head coach Robert Sala. And Robert Sala, your man was basically interviewing like a normal Jets fan, intelligent Jets fan would interview a head coach. And he asked him tough questions, and like, fair play to Robert Sala, he was honest in his answers. But he mentioned Becton, and he mentioned that Becton has got down to the weight that he was when he was in the draft, selected in the draft, and seemingly he said that he's changed his representatives, and he looks like a different person altogether than he was in the last 2 years, which is a good thing. And then he talked about Jets running back, Brees Hall and AVT, how they're in the gym and they're working out big time now and they're looking great. And they're on track big time. So that's good news of three players coming off, you know, that ended up on IR during the season. And they're, you know, three key players. Like if Becton comes back to the player we all thought he was going to be, that's a big plus for the Jets' offensive line. And then also mentioned during the week that Brown, the left tackle for the Jets, he's coming back healthy because he had surgery and he played through a serious injury all season. So the offensive line's, you know, it's, I think from what I'm hearing off the Jets, Joe Douglas and Salah, they're going to work big time this year on the offensive line. And for me, it all starts in round one. That selection is either an offensive tackle, or round two, get Schmidt, the center. Because round two, that's the guy I want.
Sorry, Ian, just going back to the three guys that Salah mentioned. Yeah, like you're going to have quite a big difference in the run game with Becton, Tucker and Breece Hall available. Like, while for me, there was still a few question marks over his pass blocking, I don't think there was any doubt with Becton's run blocking ability, and Tucker the same, to be fair. Like, I think he's quite a mauler and a mobile guy that kind of opens up the opportunity, you know, to get a couple of sweep plays and stuff like that going, and toss plays, and, you know, getting both them guys out in space are dangerous in the run blocking game. So yeah, like that, having them three guys back and fully fit will be a great addition to the offense. Like that's three of 11 positions that like are locked up with like three serious players. As I said, if Becton does come back to his, and kind of reaches his potential now at this stage, yeah, we still kind of consider him young, but like, yeah, like it's getting to the stage where Becton, we're going to have to make a decision on his future fairly soon. Like, I think this could be year four, so which means we have to be kind of looking at whether we will take up the fifth year option. Like, you look at the Giants, they didn't take up the fifth year option with Daniel Jones, and you know, they probably should have. It would have saved them quite a few quid, I think. Obviously, they probably would have paid it eventually if they got, but like they would have had an extra cheap year with Jones, I think would have been about 23 million this year had they given him the fifth year option, and maybe actually a little bit less than that. But
Jones is after getting a 3 year deal during the week, and I think it's 40 million a year for.
Yeah, I thought it was something along the lines of
huge
4 years, 160 million or something like that.
Gino got locked up for 3 years, but like that, it's basically a 2 year deal. It's front loaded.
Yeah. Well done to Gino Smith. Like, kind of, you know, the writing was on the wall for him here for quite a while. And yeah, it's nice to see. Like, I suppose it's a great example to kind of never give up, isn't it? And he's finally got paid and rewarded. Now, I think because of it, Seattle probably slips further back into obscurity again, because there's a lot of cap going to be allocated to Geno over the next couple of years in comparison to what he was last year. I think was 3 or 3.5 million. So yeah, like, best of luck to all the guys getting paid. I just think every guy that kind of gets paid makes it easier for a team with a rookie quarterback or like one of those cheaper quarterbacks.
Yeah. And then other news is the Jets got permission from Green Bay to talk to Aaron Rodgers a day later. They were out in California meeting for talks with Aaron Rodgers. So there was Woody Johnson, there was Joe Douglas, who was the offensive coordinator, Hackett, and Robert Saleh, all meeting with Aaron Rodgers. Nothing's imminent, especially with Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers likes to take his time. But like that, it seems like Aaron Rodgers was the number one target all along, and they're going big time for Aaron Rodgers at the moment. But like that, if they bring in Aaron Rodgers, that's a lot of cap gone. They have to, you know, try and get cap out of the team this year. What are they going to give up for Aaron Rodgers? God knows. And the other thing is, how long is he going to play for the Jets? Is it going to be 1? Is it going to be 2 years? And then you have the question mark over Zach Wilson at the moment. Like, what do the Jets do? And like that, I mentioned that podcast a few minutes ago. And Robert Saleh was asked about Zach, and he said, look, Zach, it'd be a shame to throw him away because he's such a talented young player at 23. So they're going to work with him in the background. And that's why I think they're going to push big time to get Aaron Rodgers in, so Wilson can work in the background with him.
I think this is going to happen. Probably shows all that is wrong with the Jets, because as much as you say that Rodgers was the plan all along, I actually heard kind of the opposite, that from a GM and head coach perspective, they both preferred Derek Carr. The one that actually prefers Aaron Rodgers is, of course, our owner.
Yeah.
So, again, if he's the one pulling the strings, then it really doesn't matter who we have as head coach or GM, because this guy is, he doesn't know football. Like, if he's going after Aaron Rodgers, he's still stuck in the past where it was like having a franchise quarterback was the way to kind of reach a Super Bowl, whereas now we see regularly enough every year almost somebody on a rookie contract is the ones that are getting to the Super Bowl. So, yeah, it's kind of frustrating to kind of see like stuff like that been reported where, you know, it seems like the jobs, like, and who we apportion blame to, like, oh, it's the head coach's fault we only won 8 games this year, or it's the GM's fault we only won 6. It's the buck kind of stops with the owner the whole time, doesn't it? Like, you know, and I think this is kind of another example of it. In terms of the Rodgers, like, I kind of have my fingers crossed that the man retires, if I'm being honest. Because I kind of want Aaron Rodgers. The best thing Aaron Rodgers could do for the Jets is retire. If, you know, you're going to have fans saying, like, oh, he still wants to win. If he wants to win, and he will win a Super Bowl with the Jets, if he comes here and takes a $2 million contract a year, he'll win a Super Bowl with the New York Jets. If he's that interested, I'm sure he's earning enough money now at this stage. You know, like, $2 million is still a lot of money. It's a lot of money to us. It's not a lot of money in terms of value. But you could be guaranteed that Rodgers would be one of the favourites to win a Super Bowl on a $2 million cap hit.
Yeah.
He's not going to, you know.
Yeah, another new
money. And, you know, you're bringing a QB that's more interested in being paid than winning. And that's kind of the reality of all those free agents, because they all want to, you know, it's like a kind of a pissing contest for men. They want to, like, get what they feel their value is and what they're worth. They kind of don't grasp that. You know, if they took it a little bit less, it might actually be easier for them to become successful.
Yeah, and in other news, the Underpants Olympics was on last weekend, and the Jets met up with Richardson, the quarterback from Florida, which... for me, not that it surprised me, but I think the Jets are they're pulling at a lot of strings. There's a lot of smoke going on with the Jets. You've got the Aaron Rodgers, you had the Carr, now you've got Richardson. I think the Jets are going to, from my point of view, the Jets are trying to get teams to get more interested in their quarterbacks. So a player will either slip to them, or they'll have a trade partner so they can trade back. That's what I'm hoping.
Well, I would see potentially like a plan sort of C option, if you get me. Like, if the Jets don't really get anybody in free agency to be a starting quarterback next year, I think there's plenty of options, like, you know, potential options that come in cheap and can help us potentially then fix the O-line and the things along those sort of areas of the team that need to be fixed. So I would feel maybe they're looking at him as if he fell to us at 13, he does become an option if we don't have anybody else. But I kind of see it as that been potentially as far as that goes. Now, if it was a case of a kind of a Geno Smith thing where he fell to the Jets in round two, which, to be fair, is probably where I think he should be drafted. You know, he's going to probably be drafted on his physical attributes and what he showed at the combine. Yeah, so that probably puts him... Well, like he played less college games than Mark Sanchez, and Mark Sanchez wasn't NFL ready when he came into the league. No. Like, that's why I'm saying if you drafted him in round two, I wouldn't have a problem drafting him in round two, and I'd sit him for a year. You know, like if you had somebody like Teddy Bridgewater or somebody like that, a 1 year cheap stopgap that you could, you know, put the year down to, we're not like trying to improve the QB position, but we're going to try and improve the O line, the run game, so that when he does come in year two to start, that you've got like a lot of good things around them that gives him the opportunity, the best opportunity to succeed. You know, yeah, like you look at Darnold and all those guys, they weren't really given like the sort of things around them to succeed. Everything was like a stumbling block, was a hurdle, was an excuse. We fixed the O-line this year. I think that's kind of the best way forward for the Jets. And in terms of like long term as well, like when you look at like the likes of your Rodgers options and stuff like that, yeah, you may have them for one season and God knows what you're giving up. I think, yeah, if we go cheaper, if he did fall to round two, and I think the Jets may look at drafting a quarterback this year as well, like if White's not brought back, obviously depending on what free agents we've signed by then, but I don't think there's going to be any rush to be bringing the likes of White in, or that you could probably get somebody quite similar still available in July or August, well after the draft. So I think they may look at a few options in the draft this year, but be probably more the mid to late round pick, somebody who could maybe sit for a year and stash and develop and, you know, have that kind of Brock Purdy impact potentially if we did fix other things around the team next year.
Yeah, well, for me, when it comes to Richardson, he is so raw and he just doesn't have enough tape for me to splash out a first round pick, because you look, the Jets splashed out a first round pick for Wilson, Sanchez, and those guys weren't ready. They didn't have enough game tape or college experience. So for me, like yourself.
Yeah, but none of them had the start day one, Ian. Like, you know what I mean? We could have sat them, but we didn't.
Exactly.
Do you know what I mean? And like, just because we draft another one in the first round doesn't mean we have to start them. And no. I think that's the disconnect with fans, really, is that if it makes more sense to sit a guy, just like Rodgers actually sat, or, you know what I mean, Mahomes, didn't he sit for a year? And Hurts for the Eagles sat more or less for a year. You know, like, quite a lot of guys that start to develop pretty well, like, the Eagles were probably protecting him, same thing, until they got better, like, pieces around them, like O-line. They traded for the wide receiver this year as well. And their O-line was, I'm nearly sure, top five this year too. So, like, you're bringing a young guy into those kind of scenarios. They're great, you know, scenarios to try and find success in, whereas you look at, let's just say, the likes of the roster at Chicago, at Houston, like two bang poor teams. They're kind of the rosters the Jets had when we were drafting quarterbacks,
yeah,
and expecting them to succeed. You know, our roster now, I think, is far, far better for a young quarterback to succeed. But if he needs to sit for a year to get the best out of him and for the team to develop a little bit more sort of around them, as in not have a bottom five O-line when he starts, would be a nice help. If we could have an O-line in the top 10 with the wide receivers, tight ends and run game we could potentially have with the guys we have, we got a good shot at like getting really, really deep into the playoffs and potentially winning the Super Bowl. Yeah. You know, why can't we be the Eagles? Why can't we be the Seahawks when they'd Wilson, or the Chiefs when they had Mahomes, you know, like, or the Rams when they had Goff? Like, they all reached Super Bowls with those young quarterbacks that, like, you know, some were extremely talented and others weren't. I know, like, the Rams didn't win a Super Bowl with Goff, and now he looks like an absolute superstar out in Detroit. But yeah, they kind of saw him as the guy holding them back and took the swap with Stafford and went from losing the Super Bowl with Goff to kind of winning it with more or less the same kind of roster on it in Stafford. So yeah, like, I think, for me, I would look at, like, the draft, maybe mid rounds for a guy potentially to kind of sit for a year. But yeah, like, even that kind of thing of, if we did draft a guy in round one, like, if it, like, God forbid, we'd no starting quarterback going into the draft, then QB becomes a seriously important position in the draft, like, where the Jets could be nearly forced to trade up, like, it. And who's to say that wouldn't happen potentially? Like, you know, if one of the top three or four guys actually did start falling, which is always possible, like, you look at, like, I suppose, like, Jones, nobody expected him to go 5 overall. You have, I suppose, Josh Allen. Some people had him going maybe the top 10. He, I think, fell to 13 or 16. You know, like, you've guys that kind of, you think are going to be top 5, top 10 guys, and are not, and guys that, like, even Mayfield, like, he wasn't supposed to go 1st overall, if I recall, yet, come draft night. You know, he was a shoo-in. But yeah, I suppose, like, the Jets are in a kind of a position at 13 where moving up for a young quarterback that fell, maybe to, like, let's just say 8, even if they had to give up a 2 second rounders to move up, you know, them 5 spots or a 1st and a 2nd rounder next year, something like that. They might say that is actually good value given, like, you know, if they're giving up that kind of thing for Rodgers and you have him for maybe 1, potentially 2 years, that you're getting a prospect there maybe that you've got 5 years with, you know, for giving up the same kind of draft capital.
Well, for me, going back to Richardson, as you said, Ibrahim is a second-round quarterback. I do as well, but on his traits, he's going to go round one to a team. Yeah. The other thing is, my number one quarterback in this draft is Stroud by a mile. I think he could walk into a team and play straight away. Apart from that,
I'm going to agree, Ian, just what I will say with Stroud, which I kind of think it's not necessarily a negative on him, but it could kind of, like, you know, you look at the core of wide receivers he's had over his time playing there. You know, like, we've all seen how good Garrett Wilson is. Like, I think there's a guy coming out this year that's probably equally as good. Like, you know, I wouldn't mind even drafting him at 13, to be honest. Like, he's had, I think, 4 or 5 first round draft picks around them, like, catching the ball. So, you know, like, well, I'm not saying it's a negative, but it could kind of explain, like, some of his stats, if you get me. It may not just be all him.
Yeah, no, I'm a big fan now of Stroud. Apart from him, I like Haener. But, like, the last couple of weeks, I've been looking at quarterbacks throughout the draft, different rounds, and I just really don't like this crop of quarterbacks at all. Like, Will Levis, I think he's a bad man's Sam Darnold, to be honest. Like, you look at the footwork the same as Sam Darnold, he's not accurate either.
But again, like, as I said, I think you can kind of win with an average quarterback if you fix the O-line. Like, I think we reached the playoffs last year with Zach Wilson had we got, like, a top 10 O-line. I think we probably win maybe 11 games. You know, therein lies the difference, even with, like, for me, there's at least 3 losses there that I feel had we got a good O-line, we could have turned them into wins. We could have controlled the clock more. You know, there's a lot of things open up when you can kind of control the offense and the time of play and not have to worry about completing a 3rd and 9 all the time. You know what I mean?
I think
the pick, but QB could be an option, as I said. Should we not, like, fix that before we go in there?
I honestly, I can't see it happening in round one. If they really, really aren't sold on Zach Wilson and to bring in a vet quarterback, I could see them looking at Hooker as an option. or Heener. Apart from that, I just don't see an NFL starting quarterback outside around one, apart from them two quarterbacks. But the problem with Heener is he's 6 foot, he's small.
Yeah, like, is there any kind of cheap QBs, like, not the kind of elite guys that you kind of look at in free agency to potentially even come in as a backup? Like, is there any where, you know, like, I kind of feel in a way the Jets almost have all their eggs in the Aaron Rodgers basket now, and if that kind of falls through for them, they may be kind of like bag and bin shopping again, which, as I said, I'm kind of keeping my fingers crossed for, because that means we can spend more cap on maybe a center or something in free agency, you know, and get a really, really good one there. Like, I know you're saying about the guy from Minnesota in round two, Schmidt, but yeah, like, there's no guarantee he doesn't go round one. You know, like, I wouldn't be surprised if he goes in the 20, 25 range, and that's been honest.
Yeah, well, he's my number one center. My number two center is the guy from Nebraska. He's an absolute mammoth of a center. I think his name. But
I just one question, Ian. Like, would you potentially like have somebody like Sam Darnold back for like 2 years? Shall we say, like, if we did draft somebody in maybe round two to potentially start the following year? Would you have somebody like, as I said, Dan is only 25 still. He's still young. He kind of knows the kind of setup a little bit. And he'll have a lot more weapons around them. He has a bit more experience himself. Could he be like a kind of half decent stopgap if he came in at the right price?
I tell you, Rich, outside of Aaron Rodgers, he'd be my number one guy, Sam Darnold, and then Mike White. Because I don't want Baker Mayfield near the team. And I don't like Brissett.
Jacoby Brissett, yeah.
Just don't like him.
Yeah, I would actually, he would be probably, him and Teddy Bridgewater, them two guys would probably be my top two. Darnold would probably be number three, strange enough.
See, the problem with Teddy, Rich, is he can't stay fit.
Yeah,
really look,
I get that. Yeah, I get that. That's why I would probably get up for Brissett. And like, for me, Brissett, I thought, looked pretty decent last year with Cleveland when he was playing. And, you know, like, he kind of had the same kind of sort of standard as Watson when he came back. Now, I know Watson had a long absence, but Watson is seen as like a top three, a top five quarterback on his day in the league. So, you know, that's who he's kind of matching against. Like, to me, like, that kind of puts Brissett in the maybe close to being top 20 range. And, you know, I think we can kind of win with a good game manager, and he could do that job, you know, what he did last year. So, yeah, he would be probably top of my list.
I would again,
Teddy's the kind of the one with the injury issues and stuff like that. He's not as reliable. But, yeah, Darnold, for me, wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. As I said, like, he's still young. He still could potentially actually get himself a long-term Geno Smith-type deal back with the club that drafted him if he comes back, you know?
I'll tell you one thing. If the Jets ended up signing Sam Darnold, I think Matt over in England will absolutely cry with enjoyment.
Well, like, I'd get a bit more use of my Sam Darnold jersey. My daughter Lauren bought it for me, and she didn't realize he had left the building, shall we say. But, like, of course, you have to be polite and go, "Oh, that's lovely, thank you."
Yeah.
So, yeah, like, I might finally get a bit proper use out of the Darnold jersey.
Yeah. And next week's going to be interesting anyway, because the Jets have to make a few cuts, I think, and they have to restructure a couple of big contracts. But like that, it's going to be interesting to see what happens with the Aaron Rodgers situation, and then what are they going to do with bringing in bodies? I can't see them doing any business in the first wave of free agency, maybe not even the second wave. I think it's going to be a quick free agency. Sorry?
When does free agency start?
Next weekend, I think. Or, no, it's actually this weekend is tampering, Saturday, I think.
Right. So probably so, Tuesday or Wednesday. Next week.
I think it's Tuesday or Wednesday, yeah.
Right, very like, good.
But like that, I can't see the Jets doing much business.
Well, like, if it was a center that they could look in, like, you know, like, that's obviously a glaring hole at the minute in...
I think they draft the O-line.
Yeah, but I don't know whether they can kind of, you know, like, given where the O-line has ranked over the last couple of years, I think they can't kind of risk and just go with, like, a young guy has been that kind of plan A. So, yeah, like, for me, that would be the position I think they would be looking at in free agency to potentially move on if I was them, just because we don't technically have one.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting anyway. Right, that brings us to the end of the show, guys. It's Salon for me.
And Salon for me. Sports Social Podcast Network.